Lawin Media Network.
Bringing to you the most relevant content across all platforms.
Business, legal, politics, health, lifestyle, and entertainment.
Your source for all the news and updates in the greater Houston community from Texas and all over the world.
Get informed and empowered with
Lawin Media Network.
The following program is produced by Lawin Media Network. The views and opinions expressed in this program are solely those of the individuals appearing on the show and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Lawin Media Network, its affiliates, sponsors, or partners. The content provided in this program is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only. Lawin Media Network does not guarantee the accuracy, completeness, or timeliness of the information.
Question: what's the craziest thing I've done for love? I think tonight we are actually talking about a very, very interesting topic. All right, good evening, everyone. MJ here, and welcome to another episode of Be Bold. Why not? You're watching us live on Facebook, YouTube, and stream.lawin.live. And Christian.
Thank you, at MJ. Yeah, if you did miss us live, we are on different podcast platforms, Spotify, Google, Amazon, Pandora, anywhere you get your podcast. And soon we'll also be in Houston Public TV and these channels, Comcast 17, AT&T 99, Suddenlink 99, Phonoscope 96. Wow.
Yep, that's right. So anyway, tonight we have a very, very special guest. We are honored to be at the City Hall of Houston, Texas. And allow me to introduce our special guest, Mr. Chris Collins. He is a true servant leader born into an exceptional family with a remarkable legacy of fostering over 20 children. A mentor to the youth, a steward of Houston's financial assets as the city controller, and a dedicated contributor to his community through service to the church and various civic organizations. With a background in law and business, having completed a joint program with Yale Law School and Harvard Business School, earning both his Juris Doctor and Master of Business Administration degrees, Chris brings a wealth of expertise to his role. Beyond his professional achievements, Chris is a devoted husband to Morgan and a loving father to his children, Vivian and George. It's a privilege to introduce such an exemplary leader and family man, Mr. Chris Collins.
All right.
Hi, good evening, Mr. Collins.
Hi, MJ.
Christian.
Hi, Christian.
So good to see you.
For sure, you too.
All right. Welcome to City Hall, and to you all who are watching online, welcome to your City Hall. We're right downtown at 901 Bagby Street, and this is your City Hall. So we want to see you here in person.
All right.
Thank you so much for being our guest tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
We really want to learn about you, a very young city controller of the city of Houston.
For sure.
Yeah.
So starting off, through my extensive research by basically asking your staff. You grew up here in Houston.
Yeah, born and raised.
So before all of this, before being a city controller, how was your childhood like over here?
I think I just came from a normal, Houston family. Mm-hmm. Folks who were working hard. Y'all mentioned that my parents were foster parents. And so there are a lot of kids running through my house on a pretty regular basis. Mm-hmm. I have two biological sisters. I'm the youngest of three. And mom was an administrative assistant, and dad was a police officer. He spent 34 years serving this city. And so I'm the second city employee in the mm-hmm. family and proud to be serving in this role. But I think y'all mentioned, grew up going to church, mm-hmm. Grew up going to Braeswood Assembly of God. It's a very diverse mm-hmm. church and people from all sorts of nationalities and different, native tongues spoken. And, just a regular kid, wanted to grow up and succeed and be somebody. And my parents pushed me to study hard mm-hmm. and, played a lot of sports in the neighborhood and tried to read a book or two as well.
Yeah. How was it being like the older brother of 20 other kids?
Yeah. I mean, again, it was a pretty noisy household, and the children that we would have most often would be very young. Some newborn, you know, 5 days old. But mostly ranging, you know, up into the 2 or 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And every now and then, oftentimes when there was a family that all needed a home, then we'd have older kids that might be 7 or 9 or even 15. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was never a dull moment.
Outside of this, I take photographs for Bear, an organization that helps foster kids, and so they could have like they could help them find their foster family. So like, I really appreciate what your folks are doing and everything. But does that like having like a lot of people in your household, it feels like a microcosm of Houston. Is that why you kind of like lean into like public service, because you know, like you're used to like serving a lot of people?
Well, yeah. Well, again, I won't try to take credit for what my parents did, right? Mm-hmm. But I did get to witness their example. Mm-hmm. And what I was seeing and learning, even though I didn't know it at the time, was that, you know, we all have a duty to help one another where we can. And so these were just regular folks. You know, we were ourselves working to make ends meet. And again, my parents were working. I was playing and doing all that other stuff that kids do. But they were also doing what they could to have an impact on their community. And so, you know, growing up, not only from childhood, but also witnessing, you know, during my college years and my young professional years, so many people who took up public service as a calling, it's an example that I've tried to emulate.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, that's really impressive, because, you know, there's a lot of people there. You know, poverty is a very, very common in our communities, and having parents like you had really made a difference to a lot of lives of those kids. And you could imagine, you know, having a family that accepted them. And now, do you still know, like, have communication with some of those kids that your parents fostered?
Absolutely. In fact, our very first foster child, her name was Ashley. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned to you, you know, we brought her home when she was 5 days old.
Wow.
And today she's coming up on her 23rd birthday, if I'm not mistaken. But my mom just texted my sisters and me the other day to let us know that Ashley had a baby.
Oh.
And so my mom was going to go and visit this little girl. And I've seen pictures, and it's so cool to know that, you know, we played some role in making sure that her mom had a home, that she had, you know, an upbringing, people who loved her. And then she was able to return home to her father eventually. And we stayed very close. And, you know, she's been a real light to our lives.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. That's.
I mean, I feel like, you know, like being immigrants here, we're like a foster kids of Houston. And then Houston's taking care of us now. So,
But Houston is so diverse that really, I mean, it's an open city for everybody. And it's like, just, I mean, state of Texas in general, and especially Houston is the most diverse city in the whole of United States of America, right?
No, it's incredibly diverse. And I wouldn't call you a foster kid, but what I would say is that we all take care of one another. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom's not from here. She's from Washington, D.C., and she came here in her 20s looking for a change and looking for opportunity. Mm-hmm. And she found a community that welcomed her in. And, you know, people will ask you, were you born here? Were you not? Mm-hmm. But the answer to your question doesn't matter, right?
Yes.
You're a Houstonian just the same. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I love about this city and about this entire community. Mm-hmm. And it is sort of exemplified in sort of the foster kid example where it's like, hey, you just showed up at my door on, you know, and we're strangers, but I'm here to help. Mm-hmm. And I know that you can be somebody great if we just give you the resources to do it. And so that's a lot of what city government's about.
Yeah, and you, now you got a huge family, right? A family of all those 20 kids.
So now you got a family of 2.5 million people.
Yes, that is correct. And so your dad was a police officer, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did you, like, because you're a lawyer, but did you in your life growing up want to be a police officer like your dad at some point?
Or administrative assistant.
Like, yeah.
like any kid, that there are so many different things that I wanted to be, right? I wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to be an NBA player. I wanted to be a firefighter and a police officer.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, one thing that my dad told me, because neither of my parents went to college.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so the jobs that they worked were jobs that you could get without a college degree, mm-hmm. you know, at that time. And they wanted more for their kids. They offered us a strong foundation. They offered that same strong foundation to dozens of other mm-hmm. Young people, but they wanted us to go to college. Mm-hmm. And so I remember a conversation when I was younger and I told my dad, maybe I'll be a police officer. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, you know, you can be a part of the justice system as a lawyer. Right.
Wow.
And it's not that, you know, being a police officer is an incredibly uh-huh. honorable thing to do. And you can advance and you can become a chief and you can have a very strong career. And in fact, now that my parents are retired, they're provided for by my dad's pension. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very rewarding career. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think, again, because he just wanted his kids to shoot for the stars, mm-hmm. he said, no, go to college, you know, and then go get a law degree or go get some other kind of graduate degree mm-hmm. and really just reach your full potential.
Yeah.
And so mm-hmm. all of us, myself and both of my sisters, all of us have advanced degrees, even beyond a bachelor's. Mm-hmm. And both of my sisters today are now educators. So they're helping wow. other young people to reach their potential. And so I'm inspired every day. Mm-hmm. You know, before I got into public service, I mm-hmm. felt like I was the one in the family who was underachieving, right? I was the one who wasn't, right. you know, helping others every single day mm-hmm. In my career. But now I've joined the ranks. And so that's really cool.
It is cool. I'm a parent too. And you're right. Parents dream bigger for their children. Yeah. Right.
All right. That was a good first part. We're going to have more.
Are we already?
Yeah, we are about to go on break.
I couldn't believe
that went by so quickly.
I know, right? Anyway, guys. Anyway, we'll go for a short break and we'll be back.
Another one, till death do us part. What happens to a will after a divorce in Texas?
Oh,
from Brian Wong. Brian Wong,
you have a lot of friends. But that's an interesting question. Till death do us.
That was a quick 15 minutes. Now we want to know more about you. It seems like time is not enough. You have so much to share and you are already inspiring us with your beautiful story. You know, that's the essence of the show. We feature people that would inspire, motivate, empower our viewers. But more questions, Christian.
All right. So before being a city controller, you practiced law.
Yeah.
And were you like full-hearted on that and like you really wanted to be a lawyer, or you were kind of like think of other careers first? How did that go?
Well, I mentioned to you that my dad said mm-hmm. you should go to law school, right? And so from the time I went to college, mm-hmm. I said I'm gonna do whatever I have to do to get the best grades and go to the best law school and be a lawyer. But honestly, again, coming from the background that I came from, I didn't really know what that meant. Mm-hmm. I saw law, you know, I saw shows on television about lawyers and I thought that's what it meant mm-hmm. to be a lawyer. And, you know, going to college and getting exposure to so many other opportunities, it didn't derail me from the path because I did eventually become a lawyer, but it showed me what I could do and it let me choose my own path. Mm-hmm. And so my first job out of college and where I spent the bulk of my career was as a management consultant. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know what a management consultant is, what I did was to help large businesses and government agencies to transform the way that they operated, to bring new ideas, to bring solutions to problems that they were facing that were really, really difficult. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, especially for these government agencies, impact the lives of the people that they were called to serve mm-hmm. in a greater way. Yeah. And so that's what I did from the moment I left college and then ultimately returned to go to grad school, got my law degree, got my master's in business, and then came back and continued doing management consulting mm-hmm. Until the transition. So what took me into law? Because I really loved the work that I was mm-hmm. doing. Mm-hmm. It was family. Mm-hmm. My daughter was born mm-hmm. and my wife is also a lawyer and she works really, really hard. But my work took me off to New York, to Washington, D.C., to the West Coast to serve my clients. And I was gone all week. Mm-hmm. And that made things tough for my family. And selfishly, like, I really miss my daughter. Yeah. And so after a while, I decided that I needed a change and ultimately decided to hang out a shingle mm-hmm. and open a law firm. Mm-hmm. And I did that full time around the end of 2017 and built that for a number of years into a practice that I was really, really proud of. We were a plaintiff's practice. What that means is that we helped the little guy or the little mm-hmm. gal mm-hmm. to get justice from someone bigger who normally they couldn't even afford mm-hmm. to seek justice from because lawyers can be expensive. Mm-hmm. Yes. But we would help them yeah. And we'd help to make them whole, whether it was an injury or a business dispute. And that brought a lot of joy and fulfillment. But it also gave me the flexibility because I was the business owner, I was yeah. the boss, right? Yeah. I could spend my time the way that I wanted to. And a lot of that was with family, mm-hmm. but it was also getting involved civically on the local level and ultimately getting involved on the political scene here. And so I was able to do both for some time. And I was starting to get that the bug, you know, to potentially run for office, mm-hmm. but thought that again, I have young kids, mm-hmm. Or I think I had one kid at the time, and I want to be a present father, and I don't want to bring them into all this stuff. And so what I'm going to do is stay working in the private sector, mm-hmm. You know, build something for our family, make sure we get them off to college, and then maybe I'll run for office, you know, 15, 20 years from now. But that all changed when the pandemic came. Mm-hmm. You may remember what we were all going through, right? Yes. We were concerned for our safety. We were concerned for the safety of our families. And then we were concerned economically. Mm-hmm. Those of us who were working jobs were saying, am I still going to have my job tomorrow morning? And then others were saying, you know, as business owners, can I keep the lights on? And can I keep these people employed who have been on my team for so long? And I know who, you know, might be struggling or concerned mm-hmm. themselves. So we were all dealing with that, right? The whole yes. world was dealing with oh, it. Yes. Of course, this community was dealing with it in the best way that we could. But it would also happen to be the most important election year mm-hmm. of our lifetimes. And our county clerk, you know, we're the third largest county in the nation. Mm-hmm. And our county clerk, who was the election administrator, resigned from office for health reasons. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't, in that moment, have someone to make sure that this election was going to happen. And oh, by the way, because of the pandemic, that changed all of the rules of how we could even vote in a way that was safe and truly accessible. And, you know, to make a long story short, I raised my hand to do that job. And I came in sort of with my consulting mindset of, okay, I'll be here for 6 months. This will be like a project. You know, we'll figure out the problems. We'll work to understand how the system is functioning, and then we'll make it better. Mm-hmm. And then we'll provide the safety and the access.
Yeah.
And then I'll go back to my work as a lawyer, right? Mm-hmm. That was the game plan. But it's funny, you know, when you make plans, right? They say God laughs at
oh, yes.
the plans that
absolutely.
We make.
Oh, you were being set up. You were being set up. You know, God provides these opportunities, circumstances in our lives because mm-hmm. he's setting you up for your calling, for your purpose. It seems like all your life that has been the trajectory that you were going to, because you said earlier that you planned maybe 15 years down the road, mm-hmm. but it came sooner because you were needed, because God put you at that appointed time and everything has become a setup, right? And I read about how you made the voting, actually. You created like 2.5 million voters from
well, that's how many voters are in Harris County. Yeah. And so our job was to make sure that every single one of them had the opportunity to vote in a way that, again, was safe and easy and straightforward and one that they could understand. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, about 1.7 million voted. And that's a record for any county in Texas at any time in history that still stands today. Yeah. And we did it with a lot of innovative ideas where, again, the focus was just how do we make it safe and easy, right? So we invented drive-through voting where anybody who wanted to in Harris County could cast a vote from the safety and convenience of their vehicles. We talked about all those people who were working so hard to make ends meet. Even during the pandemic, we created 24-hour voting so that shift workers who were getting off late at night, our first responders like my dad and the firefighters who might, you know, get off their shift at 5 a.m. or have to show up to work at 5 or 6 a.m., they could vote at a time that was convenient for them. And so, you know, any problem that we saw that was, you know, caused by the need to be socially distanced or caused by needs that existed even before the pandemic, where it said, hey, it might be hard to get to a voting center because of this thing. Well, we tripled the number of voting centers. So now it's three times as likely that a voting center is near your home, near your place of business, near your child's school, so that you can get there. We worked with so many faith organizations. So you mentioned, you know, God providing a way. Whether you were Christian or Muslim or Jewish or Hindu, we were working with faith leaders to say, look, we know you're providing Zoom services, right? In the same way that we're online right now, I was watching church, right? And so we said, look, we have these nonpartisan messages. So we're not telling you who to vote for, but we just want to tell you that voting is important and here's the way to do it. And faith leaders put those commercials on, for lack of a better term, during their announcements during faith services, right? And so this whole community was part of the solution. The Houston Rockets, the Houston Texans, they said, okay, we want to have drive-through voting at our stadiums, right? The Houston Food Bank, they said, look, we want to have, we want to open up a location. People are already coming here because of their needs right now. And we're so grateful to Houston Food Bank and Interfaith Ministries and so many others that fed thousands and thousands of people during that time. But they also had voting. You could walk inside to vote or you could drive through at the Houston Food Bank. And so we're, the community came together, right? That was important. The fact that we had new ideas, the fact that we had accountable leadership, the fact that we were operating with a real sense of purpose, that all came together for what was a really remarkable outcome, which was, again, this community coming together and making our voices heard. And I was really inspired by that entire experience.
I couldn't imagine in our lifetime that we would experience a pandemic, but you're right. This time was like people came together, you know, how people connected and helped each other and got through it. And hopefully it's not going to come back. We still have COVID there, but here and there. But anyhow, let's talk about your role now, right? As the new city controller, you just assumed the position or you were just elected this past January. So how is it going being in this early stage?
And even for like other folks who, I'm not saying it's me, but like other folks who don't know what a city controller is.
You know exactly what it is. I just got to tell them. Right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I'll talk to them since you know the answer already. I was elected to be your city controller back in December. My first day on the job was January 2nd of 2024. So what is the city controller? The city controller is your chief financial officer. We looked after your tax dollars. We are your taxpayer watchdog, cracking down on waste, fraud, and abuse, and bringing new ideas and best practices in the same way that we did when I was county clerk, bringing new ideas to the city so we can provide better services and provide you know, these critical things like public safety and trash pickup and road repair at a level that you deserve. And so what does that look like on a daily basis? Well, we're the city's auditor, right? So that's how we look at waste, fraud, and abuse. We go in and look at those numbers. We look at every transaction. We are going to be bringing our performance audit function to a level that will allow us to give department leaders advice on how they can do this in the same way that other world-class cities do. We're also your city's treasurer. And so when you send in that tax money, it's, you know, it's sitting there until we spend it. Well, we don't just sit on it, right? Mm-hmm. You remember the parable of the talents, right? Mm-hmm. We invest it and we get a return, right? And so we're very proud of our ability to do that. And we have over $6 billion in investments at any given time. Mm-hmm. We're working to make sure that those dollars are not just getting us a return, but that we're putting them in community banks here in Houston that are going to then invest in you as a small business owner or someone who needs, you know, a loan to hold you over to build something for yourself and for your family. We also issue debt on behalf of the city. So when you see these major projects, usually that's a result of a bond. Mm-hmm. And that means we pay the cost of those projects off over a longer period of time because we're going to be benefiting from them for a long period of time.
Yeah,
we are the city's, you know, we run the financial operations of the city. So that means every single employee, there's 22,000 employees across the city of Houston. Mm-hmm. They all get their paychecks from this office with my signature on them. Mm-hmm. And vendors and contractors who do great work for the city, we make sure that they get paid on time and get paid accurately as well.
Yeah.
And then finally, financial reporting. Mm-hmm. So we have to bring the information about how your tax dollars are being spent and how the operations of the city are functioning to you directly. We have to put that information at your fingertips. We have to share it with you in a language that you understand. And so that's our financial reporting function, mm-hmm. which is just telling it like it is, right? Yes. And you've already seen us over the past couple of months talk about, you know, major financial issues that are facing our city and the challenges that are ahead. But we owe it to the community to be honest about those challenges mm-hmm. and to call for solutions that are going to put us on the right financial footing so that my kids, you know, have a great city that they can grow up in and hopefully raise my grandkids here.
Wow. I mean, you have a huge role. For,
and I knew all of that. I know.
Thank you. Oh, my God. That was really good. I mean, like, we know so much. I know your time is very precious. You still have to work. Oh, you're still working after this
interview?
We're
working. Listen, this is real coffee, y'all.
Okay.
And it's 7:30. And I came in here for this interview from my office down the hallway. And I'm going to go right back to my office after this interview. So there's a lot happening
here.
Wow.
Any future plans after being the city controller?
I got to go back to my office. And keep working.
Okay. We'll you know, you're being set up. So just be prepared. You know, when God has you in his hands like that, he's got your future already planned out for you. So, and you being a man of faith, I mean, that's really awesome. God bless you. But before we end the segment with you, what are your final words for our viewers? You know, you have a very, very inspiring story. A graduate from the best Ivy League schools, right? Yale and Harvard, mm-hmm. and city controller at a young age, handling the city's assets and everything. Wow. And coming from a very, very good family, exceptional family. What are your words of inspiration for our viewers?
Well, I'm going to go with information instead of inspiration. Again, my job is to keep you informed about what's going on at the city. And we're entering budget season. You know, the fiscal year for the city ends in June and starts in July of the next year. So we're going into the time when our budget's going to be announced for next year. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the mayor is going to propose that budget tomorrow. And over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to be not only sharing information with you, but then city council is going to be approving that budget. And so stay tuned. I want you to follow us on social media.
Yes.
My personal account is CG Hollins. C as in Christopher, G as in George. That's my dad's name and my middle name. CG Hollins. Follow us on all platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And then we're going to share this information next week. John, what day is our first town hall?
Oh, town hall, 6 o'clock, 6:30.
On what day?
Monday the 20th.
All right. So a week from today, Monday the 20th at 6 p.m. or 6:30, somewhere around there, we're going to be doing a budget town hall and it won't be the only one. And so just continue to follow us on social media as we get this information out to you. And again, we're going to put this information about a $6 billion budget in language that you can understand so you know what's happening with your tax dollars. So I look forward to it. It's the honor and privilege of my lifetime to be in the role as your city controller. And we need to hear from you. So, you know, reach out to us on social media or email me directly at chris.hollins@houstontx.gov. We want to know your priorities and we want to answer your questions. And hopefully today was informative.
Yes, right. Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. Are we going to have a photo?
Yeah, let's
yeah, we're going to have a photo with our Lauen
CEO.
Yeah, before we take the break.
You can either sit here or stand
there. Yeah, come on in. Wow.
Thank you so much.
Why don't we come back? Well, if you stand up, the frame might not.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. But let me.
We could have all day talking and we'd be like, that is so good. Right. So good.
And I got it. See?
One, two.
Thank you so much.
I wish y'all to come back really, really soon.
For sure, tomorrow.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you, and we'll be back after a short break. All right.
In a world filled with fleeting moments, there's beauty waiting to be captured. My name is Christian, and I specialize in immortalizing your most precious memories. From elegant weddings to vibrant events, and timeless portraits, I am here to make every moment unforgettable. Let me tell your story through the lens. Contact me today and let's create magic together.
Another one, till death do us part. What happens to a will after a divorce in Texas?
Oh,
from Brian Wong. Brian Wong,
ikaw, you have a lot of friends. But that's an interesting question. Till death do us.
All right, we're back. We are back. That was a very quick, it was like 39 or 35 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. We're so honored to have really Chris on the show. It's an honor to, wow, I'm impressed and I'm so inspired by his story. and welcome back. We are going to be continuing with our director of community engagement here in the city of Houston, Miss Grace Ray. Oh, Joanne Ray.
Joanne.
Yeah. Okay. Where did that Grace come from? No, I'm still, okay. Yeah, Miss Joanne Ray. Yeah, good evening. How are you tonight?
Very good. Thank you, Christian and MJ. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy to be here. Mm-hmm. And especially we just have our celebration for Mother's Day at the City Hall and everybody having a good time. So.
Yeah. Before we ask you some questions, we just want to mention again, our viewers, we usually have a game in the show. Okay. You know, to our viewers out there, especially our avid watchers or viewers, you know the game. The more you comment or ask questions or participate, the more chances you're going to have to win a prize tonight, which we will draw at the end of the show. So let's, are we going to see this? Show them the mechanics. Yeah, let's show them the mechanics of the game.
How to join the game. 1. Watch the live show and listen to the conversations. 2. Participate and share your experiences on the topic during the live show. 3. Type your thoughts or experience via comment section. 4. All participants are eligible to win a prize. 5.
All right. Welcome back. After that mechanics of the game, we actually have a lot of comments. And one is from Josie Abalos, watching from the Philippines. Thank you, Josie, for watching. And then, of course, Tita Delia Ligot. Good evening, Texas. God bless your show. What else, Christian?
From attorney Orly R. Dizon. It's truly an inspiring story, going from having a very little to becoming a city official. Yes. And another one from attorney Orly Dizon. Ooh, you might win. You gained admission to prestigious universities with high entry requirements. What was your path to acceptance and how much effort did you put into achieving this?
Yeah, so and that's a question for Chris. Maybe you can just ask him later. Or
impersonate Chris and Diamond.
One thing I know, if you want to go into an Ivy League school, you got to study hard. Plus, if you're gifted with, you know, high intelligence and all that, coupled with hard work, you can surely get in, right?
Yeah, also a lot of community service.
Yeah, yes. That is correct. Because that's why, and he may send his reply. What else?
Josephine Avalos, hello. Very nice watching your show. God bless. And Ruby Vergara, good evening, Texas, watching from the Philippines. And another one like that as well. Mark Carlo DeSeco, watching. Good evening, Texas, watching from Pangasinan. And another one from attorney Orly R. Dizon. How did Chris Hollins come up with the idea and organize the first ever API Heritage and Mother's Day celebration on May 9th? That's a question for you.
I think, Joanne, you can answer that. Yeah, because you are the one who organized it, right?
Yeah.
So your role as the director of community engagement, tell us about it so our viewers can know and we can contact you, connect with you if we have some ideas too.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this position is brand new for the controller's office. Never have this position before. Mm-hmm. But once the controller got elected, he feel like we need to have a person play the role so we get connect with the community. Mm-hmm. We can deliver the message that they understand what our office is doing. Mm-hmm. And also we want to hear what they're saying. We want to be able to communicate with them, listen to them, and help them. And so when I walk into this position, so and just happened the May, the AAPI Heritage Month coming up. So we have a meeting and they were asking, why don't you host some event at our city hall? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I said, well, the Mother's Day is a big event for Asian community. Mm. Everybody celebrate Mother's Day. Why don't we host the Mother's Day? At that time, they don't quite understand, to tell you the truth. Uh-huh. So because different culture, I said, this is a really big thing for the Asian. everybody gonna come to celebrate together. At first, they thought it was just a small event. Mm-hmm. I say, no, this is gonna be an international event.
Yes.
We're gonna bring the old community come here to participate, because from my point of view, the Asian community is always very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And they do their own little things in their own circle. And I think I want to bring them come out, mm-hmm. and we want to embrace different culture. We want to show the city hall is very diversity. Mm-hmm. At the same time, many people in the mainstream, they never really have a chance to reach out to our community or get to know our culture. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to bring them to here to the experience our cultural diversity, mm-hmm. also all the refreshment.
And no. different foods, right?
Yeah, I tried all of them.
Yes. And everybody, I encourage them to wear their traditional costume, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. everything's so colorful, mm-hmm. and so happy event. I want people just come here, relax, because when we talk about the finance, everybody gets so serious. Okay?
Yes,
and
right.
we talk about the city, you know, city of Houston, everybody think about politics, a lot of contradictions mm-hmm. here, yeah. you know, conflicts. I say, no, we want to make it a happy event mm-hmm. for everybody to come here, just having a good time, to know we can also, you know,
have
do
fun.
Some, yeah, have fun.
Yeah, yes,
that's right. And actually, there's some pictures yes. or photos on the screen right now. Look at that. Oh,
that's
my God.
Mrs.
And then the
Universe.
Mrs. Universe. Mrs. USA Universe is actually.
For me, she's Mrs. Universe. Yeah.
And she's actually going to be our guest in our final mm-hmm. episode for the season. But yeah, I mean, it's so impressive, because the city controller is not only taking care or being a steward of mm-hmm. the finances of the city, but you're bringing all the different communities
yes.
together. And that speaks volume of the leadership of Mr. Chris Collins.
Yeah, I want to point yeah. out something about our controller.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really a good listener.
Mm-hmm.
When he talk, have a conversation with you, he's really listening.
Mm-hmm.
And he really have a conversation with you. Mm-hmm. And that's why I want to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it because he's so unique
yes.
and making me feel like being appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He's yeah. just very genuine and authentic.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And it's wow. The city of Houston is gonna go places. I mean, it's mm-hmm. gotta yes, with his leadership and all that, and the transparency that he spoke about,
yes.
reporting to, because yeah, he's right. The people need to know. They have the right to know where mm-hmm. their tax money is going mm-hmm. and all that. And having heard from himself, you know, the city controller himself. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a reassurance for the citizens of Houston that their tax money is being, you know, well taken care of. It's in a really mm-hmm. great stewardship under Mr. Chris Collins. So how is it working with him? Because you're also telling me earlier that you work together
mm-hmm.
like from previous role too that you had.
Yeah, I was with the Harris County elections mm-hmm. Since 2019, and 2020 when he walked in, he became my boss, mm-hmm. direct boss for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I was in charge of the Chinese community outreach. So I would take that opportunity, and I work with him, taking to the radio station, talk show, TV mm-hmm. station, also for the media to interview him. So I get to know him very closely. That I watch him talking. Also, I work with him.
Mm-hmm.
I observe him, how he handled a different situation. At that time, I kind of say, oh, I really like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then just happened that he decided to come as a candidate for this position. And so he asked me, can I help him? I said, absolutely.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I helped him with the campaign. At the same time, I take him to all the news media, have mm-hmm. them help them. He interview him. I wrote article about him in mm-hmm. Chinese language, print mm-hmm. on the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically my role is here is to deliver the message
mm-hmm.
to our Asian community, because we I think in the past, always kind of feel like being left out, you know, not disconnected. So my role here is to help connect with all communities. I want to let people know there is a channel here. It's not like untouchable, unreachable. I'm here to help you reach out to our office, and we would like you to, you have a concern of your community economically or any kind of crime situation, you have some concern, we're here to listen to you. We might not be able to help you directly, but we can direct you to the right direction. Maybe we can direct you, he's the person, this is the office, you can reach out to. And I want to mention one important project we're trying to achieve now. We call the CDARS program, which in the past, because our city controller, we managed like $6 billion floating money to pay the paycheck, project, whatever, but we don't have the $6 million on hand all the time. We put it in the bank. In the past, always been put in the mainstream bank, a big bank, okay? But when the controller walking, he say, we want to use resource help our community bank with a medium and a small size bank. And so we come up this projects. We want to put some of the money in our local bank with the condition they want to use this money to help the local business to get their business loan, give them a better interest rate. So that way, it's a win-win situation.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Because you're helping the banks, and the banks are going to help those small business owners. Wow, I mean, that is amazing. Because, you know, if you grow the small businesses, I mean, it's going to bring progress to the city.
Yeah.
Right?
And there's maybe beauty shop, he's short of $300,000 to renovate his shop, and he can go to the local bank.
Yes.
Because it's so hard to get loans with the giant banks, right?
Yeah, they don't
monopolize
really,
the industry, and the smaller banks are not given that opportunity.
Yeah. Plus, the local bank, they can speak your language,
and
they understand your culture, so you feel very comfortable to walk into your local bank. So we want to build that relationship. We want to build from the small community, expand, you know, bigger, and the small community we want to, you know, stimulate economics. Because actually, and they did a study, the local businessmen, the business are the one really create jobs for our community. So definitely we need to work together.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Wow. So are we having a...
We're at 7:51. Why can you believe that?
We have a lot of comments.
From Ruby Vergara, so inspiring. Continue to spread good vibes. God bless your show. From Josephine Avalos, very nice episode. God bless. Again, for Mark Harlow DeSeco, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
From Jojo Canaria, good evening, Texas. Every episode is a must watch. Wow, thank you
so much.
From Jewel Bacani, we are lucky to have Joanne Ray working in the office of the city controller. She represents the whole agent community in
Houston.
Josephine Avalos. Avalos family watching you. God bless you all.
Wow, thank you. Yes, Joanne, and thank you for representing the Asian community. We are going to be seen, we're going to be heard, we're going to be participants, active participants of the city of Houston, and we can connect with you. So how do we contact you or anything?
I think you can, right now, I think the best way is to contact with the host, and they will direct your information and get connected with me. I think that will be the best.
Sure,
absolutely. We're honored. We are privileged to actually have this connection with you, Lawin Media Network. And that is also one of our missions, is to really get our community together. We have our CEO here watching us. And
they can also find a Philippine American civic engagement committee.
Yeah. So Christian is part of Philippine American Engagement Committee. Okay, I can volunteer.
I haven't done anything.
Volunteer myself. Yeah.
And I guess it's all like with the city controller's office and with like different organizations, nonprofits. It's all like, mm-hmm. you know, encouraging people to vote, encouraging people to be civically engaged. Because if this money, if we don't use the tax that we pay, mm-hmm. like it's just gonna go back to the government, and like it's not. Let's make it worth it, basically. Yeah.
Yes, and if businesses, especially small businesses, become successful, it's also a progress for the economy of mm-hmm. the yes. city and then of the state. It's a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. If people are economically progressing, everybody goes with, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a win-win situation, as you have said.
Exactly.
So how are you enjoying your role?
Actually, I really enjoy connect with people. I think mm-hmm. that's my personality. Mm-hmm. So I listen to people, and I want to help our community. Mm-hmm. And I feel like since I have this opportunity, mm-hmm. why not?
Yes.
You know, not everybody has this opportunity. So mm-hmm. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do a good job. And one more thing, this Mother's Day event, I wanted to say is the first time mm-hmm. in Houston we have so many ethnic groups mm-hmm. together perform or participate in mm-hmm. one at the same event.
Yeah.
So yeah. we're so proud of ourselves.
Yes, yeah. That is so exciting. So yeah. It's only the beginning.
Yes.
It's going to be like, it's going to become a tradition, right?
Yes.
For the city of mm-hmm. Houston to have such activity, because Houston really, I mean, it's a very diverse mm-hmm. community and city. And yes, we got to have the platform and the avenue to actually have these different cultures be seen and mm-hmm. be connected to the whole community. And thank you for doing that.
Mother's Day is important to Asians. It just shows how we're all like scared of our moms. And but yeah, there is a video
look,
showing.
Look at the video. See the cultural dances. I really missed it. I mean, I wish I was free, but I know
I was there.
One,
I disguised as a mother, so I got in.
Well, lucky you, Christian. I would have loved to attend that, but I work. But anyhow. Well, we're looking forward to more of this, right?
Absolutely. We want to work with the community and give us inspire some, give us some new idea. Yes. We can always have a different events.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Yeah. Before we end, any other message you want to tell our viewers about your role, about the city controller's role, or anything?
I think our mission here, we want to keep our accountability, mm-hmm. transparency, and innovation. Mm-hmm. So that's what we try to achieve. So please connect with us. We're mm-hmm. our door is open for you.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you so much, Joanne. It's been an honor for us to be here at the City Hall of Houston, Texas. Can you believe that? Be bold, why not here? Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, this is really good. It's been an amazing episode, and we are really grateful to all our viewers. Thank you again for participating. And I think it's time for us to show. Ooh. Let's have the wheel of names and see who's going to win tonight.
Josephine Abalos.
All right. Congratulations, Josephine Abalos. You're going to get a communication or, you know, a message on how you can claim your prize.
$6 million from the controller's office.
No, it's billion, right?
Billion. Well, I think the other, I think like the
billion hugs.
Yeah. Billion hugs. Yeah. Again, thank you for watching us tonight, and watch us again on Monday. Be bold, why not? 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And Joanne, thank you. And please extend our sincerest and deepest gratitude to Mr. Chris Collins for honoring our show tonight. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank
and
you
God bless.
Much.
All right. Thank you, everyone. And watch us again here at Be Bold.
Why not?
Good night, everyone. Good night.